Proverbs 16 and 7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. How many of you are aware that you have enemies? Would it be your desire to have your enemies rendered harmless? To have them be at peace with you, even though they don't want to be at peace with you, but to have them be at peace with you? Proverbs, the wisdom of Solomon tells us that when our ways please the Lord, you cannot please men. How many of you know that? You cannot please men. Some sage said one time, he was talking about fooling the people. He says, you can fool some of the people some of the time, all of the people some of the time, some of the people all of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. The same thing is true with pleasing them. You can please some of them some of the time, some of them all of the time. All of them some of the time, but not all of them all of the time. How many of you understood what I just said? I saw the other day, well, never mind that. I'd get off my subject here. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Paul wrote the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 4 and 1, furthermore then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. It's the message of the Holy Spirit to the church that we ought to walk in a way that pleases God, that we ought to have a concern toward pleasing the Lord, that our lifestyle ought to be, ushers, go on, let those people in. We're going to be a little while here. That we ought to walk, you know, just come in and take your seat quietly, if you will, please. We ought to have a consciousness of walking in a way that would be pleasing to the Lord, rather than in a way that is peculiarly pleasing either to ourselves or to one another. It seemed important to the Holy Spirit to share in both the Old Testament and the New that we need to be concerned about pleasing God. I'm concerned about that. How about you? We have some examples in the Scripture about some men who walked pleasing to the Lord. We're told in Hebrews 11 and verse 5 that by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. Does anybody know what Enoch's testimony was? That he pleased God. What happened to him? He was raptured. Enoch was raptured. He didn't see death. Why? Because he had this testimony that he pleased God. He lived a life that was pleasing toward the Lord. It was a concern of his heart to live that kind of a life, to be pleasing to the Lord. How about this person? And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Ooh, hallelujah. 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 If you're here this morning, you're visiting with us, and you don't really know what's going on, please don't be frightened. This is just, you know, sometimes something like this will happen and people don't know what's going on and they get frightened and they think something's going to happen to them, and nothing will happen to you that's not good today. And so please, while you may not know exactly what's happening, please don't be fearful. Praise God. Praise the Lord. In whom I am well pleased, he said. Now I do want you to turn with me to the 69th Psalm. It is the consuming desire of my heart to live that kind of a life, pleasing to the Lord. If that's your desire as well, then some of these scriptures are going to minister to you this morning. If that's not your desire, this will seem rather dull and maybe dry. And perhaps that's not what you came here for this morning. Perhaps You came this morning to get excited and to get charged up, and you thought that what I would share with you this morning perhaps would really get to you. You know, you were looking for some fiery preaching. I'm not going to give you any fiery preaching this morning, but I tell you what I am going to give you. I'm going to give you life. I'm going to minister to you. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, we love you. We bless your name, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for moving by your Spirit, Father. Move upon your people, Lord, by your Spirit. Move upon them, Lord, and bless them. I pray, Father, every person in this who's here today, every person will sense the presence of the Lord as I do. We'll have a manifestation of the goodness of God. Just feel the presence of the Spirit of Jesus in this wonderful way. Move by your Spirit, Lord, and convict the lost and save the lost. Heal the sick and the weak and the infirm. Bless those that are downtrodden. Uplift them. Comfort those that are in sorrow. Minister to your people, Father, not by power, by might of men, but by the Spirit of God. Do those works, Lord, that only you can do. Do them in such a way that no man would be able to glory in himself. That no man would be able to glory in anything or anyone save in the Lord. Show yourself mighty this morning, Father, that there is no God but thee. That there is no Lord but thee. You know, I'm not perfect in all of my ways. But I'm enough of a realist to know that. But I wouldn't knowingly do anything that would displease the Lord. I want to please Him so. And I know that this is, I know this is one of the reasons why He knows my heart. And I know this is one of the reasons why His blessings flow so freely in my life. I'm not embarrassed to share with you the way God has blessed me, because I want to encourage you the same way. I know that the Lord is no respecter of persons. Oh, He wants to dwell in you in His fullness. Oh, He wants to just thrill you with His presence. He wants to dwell in you in such an abundance, such a wonderful way. He wants to be able to move upon you. He wants to be able to, you know, if you haven't experienced the presence of the Lord, there is just absolutely no way that anyone could communicate to you how that is, what it's like. If you have experienced the presence of the Lord, and everything else, especially the things of the world, just becomes so pale. By comparison, they just mean nothing. We worked hard all day yesterday, and it was very late when I was driving home, and I thought, well, I've got this time here, and I really don't have anything to do, and so I just pray in the Spirit. It's about an hour and a half drive, and I just began to pray in the Spirit. I hadn't prayed 4 or 5 minutes, and the presence of God filled that truck. Woo-hoo. Oh, I tell you what. Oh, hallelujah. And I didn't realize what was going to happen this morning. I really did have a message planned here. Oh, We sung together. We talked together. And I sang him some songs and it just seemed like he was singing me some. A tune from a secular song came into my mind. I hadn't thought of it in quite a while. It was an old, old song. I don't know, probably from the 30s or 40s. And I just began to sing it to the Lord. Oh, put other words to it. It was magnificent. Just magnificent. How many of you remember Vaughn Monroe? A few of you oldies. It's one of Vaughn Monroe's old songs. And I thought, while I was singing, I thought, oh, there must be something wrong with me. And I'd pick out a secular song and sing it to the Lord. I can't even remember it this morning. Isn't that something? You know, just it was of the Spirit. A tune doesn't come to me this morning. Psalm 69. Praise God forevermore. I'm reading from verse 30. Primarily, I want you to see verse 30 and 31. I'm going to read down to the end of the chapter, but I want you to notice 30 and 31 particularly. I have found out, well, I've had just a fresh revelation on why David pleased the Lord so much. How many of you realize that David wasn't perfect? He made some real boners. I mean, some major boners. And, some of the things that you and I have done would also be pale by comparison with some of the things that David did. But yet the Bible records in the book of Acts, looking back upon the experience of David, that he was a man after God's own heart. And I have found out why David was a man after God's heart and why he pleased the Lord so much. Right here. This is one of David's Psalms. I will praise the name of God with a song. I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. What's that mean? I will give thanks unto the Lord. And what does that do for the Lord? It magnifies him. The more thankful I am and the more willing I am to be thankful unto him, privately and also publicly, the more thankful my spirit is, as my heart is enlarged in thanksgiving to the Lord, it magnifies the Lord. It brings honor and glory to him. This also shall please the Lord. Woo, glory. It will please him better. Better than what? Better than an ox or a bullock that has horns and hooves. What's he talking about there? Sacrifices. Praising the Lord pleases him more than our tithes, more than our grass cutting, more than our chicken salad sandwiches, more than our spaghetti suppers and our Krispy Kreme sales. More than anything we can do, praise pleases him. You know, it blesses me so much that the Lord should provide such wonderful examples and promise by example through men like Enoch and through men like David and through men like our Lord himself. And that I see in the experiences that these men had, I see promises for myself. That if I should please God also, that the payoff is fantastic. And then I begin to wonder, well, how can I please God? What is it that he wants me to do? And if you have grown up in the church, you have a lot of probably very unusual ideas as to what pleases God. Most church people have it in their head that what God wants is our works. That we must be doing this and doing that and not doing this and not doing that, and that's what pleases God. Now we know that holiness pleases the Lord and right living pleases the Lord and all of those things please God. But our churches have laid such a heavy burden upon the people. And we have seen only a portion of the truth. And the only ways that we have ever learned how to please God, it's impossible for men to do. Somebody say amen. Amen. If you've got to be perfect in order to please God, you're done. If you've got to be perfectly holy and perfectly clean and perfectly without sin, you never please God. Never. Well, how can I please him? I will praise him with a song. I will magnify him with thanksgiving. This will please the Lord. Everybody can do that, can't they? Anybody, even our children. Some of you think, well, I don't know whether the kids ought to run up and down the aisles like that. Some of you think, well, I don't know if they're really praising the Lord. They're just kind of running, following the other kids. Well, somehow I think the Lord is pleased. I just think he's pleased. I watch them when they run, and they don't just run. They kind of praise run. You know, we have a kind of a praise run here. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, now that tells me, I don't know how else to explain that, but that tells me that they're really at their level, that they really are meaning what they're doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? What happens when we praise the Lord? Verse 32. The humble shall see this. Who are the humble? The meek in heart. The word humble and the word meek are synonyms. The soft-hearted. They will see this. And they'll be glad. They may not understand it, but they'll be glad. Something inside them says, oh, this is good. This is good. They may even be tempted to run because it's unusual. But something inside says, I don't understand this, but this is good. Makes them glad. And your heart shall live that seek God. For the Lord heareth the poor. Now he's talking there about the meek or the humble, the poor in spirit. Blessed, Jesus said, are the poor in spirit. For what is the blessing? They shall see God. Some of us are seeing God this morning. Now, not with our natural eyes, but we're seeing the Lord. We're experiencing the presence of God. That's what he's talking about there. Blessed is the humble in heart. Blessed is the person who is soft in his heart and is willing to praise the Lord and thank God and to give him honor. Because he then will experience the Lord. He will see God. For the Lord heareth the poor and despiseth not his prisoners or those that are held captive or those that are bound. If you're bound this morning, you belong to the Lord and you're bound and you're captive, begin to praise him. Just begin to praise him. That'll please the Lord. Let the heaven and earth praise him. Glory to God. The seas and everything that moveth therein. For God will save Zion. Now, Hebrews chapter 12 tells us that Zion is the church of the firstborn, the Lord Jesus Christ. God will save Zion and will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servants shall inherit it. They that love his name shall dwell therein. Now that says to me, he's talking here primarily to Israel, because that was his reference point at the time. I cannot explain to you what those last two verses say to me. I can't put it in words that you will understand. I could explain it to you in the spirit, but you wouldn't comprehend it. I can speak it in the spirit, but you wouldn't understand it unless the Lord would give you interpretation there. And I have to trust God to take those two verses and impress them upon your heart. I can't tell you that when I read those verses, God will save Zion. He will build the cities of Judah, that they may dwell there and have it in possession. The seed also of his servant shall inherit it, and they that love his name shall dwell therein. It just impresses me as God is making a place. Now, I don't mean a physical place, but I mean a life. That God is developing a life. He has already provided a life, a place where we may live. A life in the Spirit where we may dwell. And it's a wonderful place. It is filled with precious and wonderful riches. And I don't mean physical riches necessarily. I'm talking about those of the Spirit. Those that bless the inner man. Those that set the inner man at peace. Where there is health and prosperity and joy and peace and security and assurance. And the ever-constant presence of the Lord, the permanent company of the Spirit of Jesus. And not that we'd find him just in the confines of this auditorium here, but there is a place in the Lord where God wants us to enter in. I'm talking about more than just the new birth. I'm talking about more than just the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I'm talking about a place where we can live. I'm talking about a dwelling place. I'm talking about a habitation. I'm talking about an abode. I'm talking about a life, a way of life, and a quality of life that only few find. Jesus said, few there be that go in. It's a place in the Lord. Hebrews chapter 4 talks about a place of rest. And the ninth verse tells us that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. And the apostle continues and says that we should strive to enter in to that rest, that we should labor to enter into that rest, into that place of dwelling. That our labor ought not to be in works in order to please God. Excuse me. But our labor ought to be in the simple means of pleasing the Lord, such as he gives us here. I believe Jesus was referring to this kind of thing when he said that we enter into the kingdom of God only when we become like little children. And if we refuse to become like little children, if we hold on to our self-esteem, and if we hold on to our self-respect, and if we hold on to our appearances, and if we hold on to the approval of others, we will never enter into the fullness of the kingdom of God. I look out on this congregation week after week after week, and one of the things that just touches my heart so, and I don't even know when it's going to be happening, but as James is here leading us, and as I'm in this area generally and praising the Lord, and every once in a while my eyes will just fall on somebody, and I will just notice them, and something will happen in my spirit as I see the change that is taking place in your lives, and as I see the joy that is just rising up in you. It just, I don't know, just, I see you men who said you would never, ever do that, doing it. I see those of you that didn't understand about everybody lifting their hands, and I see you dancing. I see those of you that when I first met you, when you first began to come into these services, you knew the Lord, you loved the Lord, many of you, but you didn't have the foggiest idea what was going on. I look out there and I just see you waving praises before the Lord. And something happens in my heart. And the presence of the Lord just whoosh. Turn to Psalm 71. I'm tempted to identify some of you. But I'm afraid if I do that, that I will offend some of you that I would not mention by name, and so I'll just restrain myself. Verse number 22, Psalm 71, reading from verse 22. How are we going to praise Him, and what are we going to praise Him with? This is how we are to please the Lord. Specifically, how do we do it? I will also praise thee with the psaltery. What is the psaltery? What is the psaltery? The Psalms, primarily the Word of God. Even thy truth. There's the explanation as to what the psaltery is. The psaltery is not an instrument. The psaltery is the Word of God. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth. I will use the word of God to praise thee. That's why we sing so many scripture songs. That's why the Spirit of God is setting so many verses of scripture to music. It's simply a fulfillment of this desire of David's heart. I will use God's word to praise you, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with the harp. I will use my voice and sing. And I will have a musical accompaniment with a harp, O thou Holy One of Israel. My lips shall greatly rejoice when I sing unto thee. In so many of our churches, sad to say, when we sing our hymns, there's very little rejoicing in the lips. It is simply rote. It's form and it's tradition, and there's no life to it. David said, true praise will come when I sing, when my lips rejoice, and my soul, which thou hast redeemed. Because my heart is changed, because I've been born again, there's a life within me. That life will spring to my lips, and praise will escape. My tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all the day long. For they are confounded, for they are brought unto shame that seek my hurt. Earlier on, I quoted Proverbs 16 and verse 7. When a man's ways please the Lord, what happens? His enemies will be at peace with him. What is David saying here? As I praise the Lord, those that seek my hurt will be confounded and brought to shame. And we come full circle, don't we? Now I want you to turn with me to Psalm 33. While you're turning there, let me just share that there are all kinds of praise. There's the praise that's wild and furious. There's the praise that's quiet and calm and quite still, as a matter of fact. And there's a time for both of those kinds of praise, and there are many manifestations in between, many variations in between those two extremes. The most important thing in our praise is to be sensitive to the Spirit of the Lord and sensitive to our own spirit to know what kind of praise is springing forth, whether it is the wild and furious kind or whether it is the still and quiet kind. I don't know if you've ever thought of it before, but that throws a great responsibility upon those that lead praise in worship, upon our musicians, upon Sally and upon James as he directs the praise in our regular Sunday services, upon Robert and Karen and those that lead praise in our Wednesday night services. To know ahead of time when you're going to choose the songs, which song do you sing? Gentle Shepherd? Or Rejoice Evermore? Or John Saw the Multitude? What kind of spirit is going to be operating in the people that day. And to be sensitive to that ahead of time, you've got to walk close to the Lord. Psalm 33. All the more reason for you to pray for those that are leading worship. For those that are, if you pray for me, and I hope that you are, I trust that you are, don't forget to pray for our musicians and our choir and our music leaders. Don't forget to lift them up in your prayers, because they've got the same need. Psalm 33, would you read that psalm with me aloud? I want to just read the entire psalm. I'm going to read this one and one other. Read with me in unison, please. Rejoice in the Lord, O ye righteous, for praise is comely for the upright. Praise the Lord with harp. Sing unto him with the psaltery and an instrument, 10 strings. Sing unto him a new song. Play skillfully with a loud voice. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. But by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depths in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. The Lord looketh from heaven. He beholdeth all the sons of men. From the place of his habitation, he looketh upon all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashioneth their hearts alike. He considereth all their works. There is no king saved by the multitude of an host. A mighty man is not delivered by much strength. An horse is a vain thing for safety. Neither shall he deliver any by his great strength. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear him, upon them that hope in his mercy, to deliver their soul from death, to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Verse 21 again, our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Now Psalm 147, please. The longer I know the Lord, the more I see why he has included so much information in his word concerning praise. So many instructions for praise, so much exhortation for praise, and why David found such a prominent place in the Old Testament, because he was a man whose heart bubbled forth in praise. Read this aloud as well. Notice the first verse, very similar to Psalm 33, verse 1, concerning the fact that praise is comely to the righteous. It's pleasant and it's comely. And I want you to listen to the instruction concerning praise and also the benefits of it. Praise ye the Lord. For it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. Let's stop right there just a moment. Let me ask you, why is it good? Just take that for granted. Why is it good to sing praises unto our God, based on what I've told you? All right? Someone else. Where is it? It exalts him. Why is it good for us? He inhabits praise. What's that mean? What is it? Someone over in here? Where? Who is that? Or, thank you. Yes, yes. And it brings his presence to us, doesn't it? It brings the manifestation of his presence. See, that's the key element. We come into his praise. He inhabits the praises of his people, Psalm 22 says.
It's good to sing praises to the Lord, for we experience them, the presence of the Lord. Blessed are the poor in spirit, the humble, for they shall see God. They shall have an experience with the Lord. I believe what the world needs is an experience with God. I believe what Christians need is an experience of the presence of the Lord. I tell you to change it. Sure change it. Read the second verse on now. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. He giveth to the beast his food, and to the young ravens which cry. He delighteth not in the strength of the horse. He taketh not pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. Stop right there. I want to go back and read verse 11 and 12, and I want you to see the connection there. The Lord takes pleasure in. To take pleasure in means that what you take pleasure in pleases you. Pleasure is a derivative of the word please. The Lord takes pleasure in certain people, those that love him and fear him. Therefore, verse 12 gives a command there. Read the 11 and 12 again, and then just continue on down. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him, in those that hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise thy God, O Zion. For he hath strengthened the bars of thy gates. He hath blessed thy children within thee. He maketh peace in thy borders, and filleth thee with the finest of the wheat. He sendeth forth his commandment upon earth. His word runneth very swiftly. He giveth snow like wool. He scattereth the hoarfrost like ashes. He casteth forth his ice like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sendeth out his word and melteth them. He causeth his wind to blow and the waters flow. He showeth his word unto Jacob, his statutes and his judgments unto Israel. He hath not dealt so with any nation. And as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise ye the Lord.